This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. It's Friday, January 10th. I am Ilya Marets, a reporter from the WNYC newsroom and the co-host of the Trump Inc. podcast, filling in today for Brian. It has been a rough few days for Nancy Pelosi's impeachment strategy. Earlier this week, some Senate Democrats called on the Speaker of the House to end the weeks-long delay so the process can move forward and articles of impeachment can move from the House to the Senate. That comes amid a proposal from Lindsey Graham, Republican senator from South Carolina, to forego the articles entirely and start the trial without them. And yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell added his name to a bill that would dismiss the articles of impeachment in the Senate on the grounds that, well, the Senate still doesn't have them. So, with pressure mounting from Republicans and some in her own caucus, Pelosi seems to be running out of options and time. CNN reports that she's told people privately that the articles will be sent by the end of the week. And, well, here we are. It is late morning on Friday, the end of the week. So will she or won't she? Joining me now is Mike DeBonis, a congressional and national politics reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Mike, and welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what can you tell us from your latest reporting on where things stand? Should we be awaiting some kind of news today?
Well, we were able to throw a couple questions at the Speaker less than an hour ago, and she confirmed there will not be a vote today in the House to send these articles to the Senate. I did ask her whether she would at least outline the next steps, and she left open the possibility that that would happen. She said perhaps we'll see that today. Our expectation is that she likes to send these letters to her Democratic caucus when she has news to announce, and I think that we're anticipating one of those letters maybe later today or sometime over the weekend.
You know, in an interview with The New Yorker, New Yorker Radio Hour, actually one of the podcasts that we produce here at WNYC, not too long ago, Nancy Pelosi sort of laid out her general thinking, which was basically pressure is not a reason to do a thing. Timing is a reason to do a thing. Is that what we're seeing play out here? Like, what is the calculation that you think she's making?
Well, let me start by saying this. Nobody knows exactly what her rationale is here. What she has said publicly is that it's about trying to force Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans to change the way they plan to conduct the trial in the Senate. Mitch McConnell at this point has made clear that he's not going to get pushed around by House Democrats. The question is why at this point keep this up? And I think you're right to say that timing is a big factor here. There's a number of different moving pieces right now, one of which is this current debate about Iran and war powers constraining the president's options to potentially go to war with Iran. Another is the fact that you've got the presidential primary process playing out. Next week, there's supposed to be a debate ahead of the Iowa caucuses. It's possible that both of those things are on the speaker's mind, and those might be influencing her decision of what particular day to act. But on the other hand, she's got political pressures here in this building where not only are Republicans slamming her for holding on to these articles and keeping this away from the Senate, but you've also got some Democrats who are scratching their heads and wondering what the holdup is.
Is she someone who enjoys, actually, in some sense, that kind of pressure, kind of letting it mount?
She's very used to dealing with the sort of political machinations of on Capitol Hill. She knows how to deal with her caucus, how to deal with Republican pressure. It's not something she's not used to. I'm not going to go so far to say she enjoys it, but it's not something that's going to cow her or force her to do something that she thinks strategically is unwise. That said, I think she understands, based on her public comments the past couple of days, that her sort of strategic position is eroding, and she's going to have to make a move fairly soon.
Let's take a call. PJ is on the line in Brooklyn. PJ, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi, good morning. So can you tell me, why do you think Nancy Pelosi hasn't subpoenaed John Bolton? Since he said he's willing to speak to Congress, what's her hesitation?
So that's an excellent question, and it's one that we've been asking up here. It's one we've actually been asking for weeks, if not months. Before this week, when John Bolton said that he was willing to testify in the Senate, the answer was this, that the House was engaged in a rapid, fast-moving investigation of Trump's behavior vis-a-vis Ukraine, and that Bolton's testimony would be contested, that he would resist it, that they would have to go to court and convince a judge, and perhaps not only one judge, but a district court judge, an appeals court judge, perhaps even the Supreme Court, to rule in the House's favor, a process that would take many months. And the House basically said, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi said, that we don't have time for this. This is a matter of great urgency and national security. We're going to move forward with our impeachment probe without John Bolton. We're in a different situation now. The articles have been passed. John Bolton has come forward and said he would testify in the Senate. And there's definitely people in the House who are saying, you know what, we can't let John Bolton choose his venue. We should bring him back here in the House. But at this point, Adam Schiff has said publicly that he believes that this is going to be up to the Senate. All of the message that the Speaker has been sending is that now that this is now going to be moving to the Senate, that their whole goal right now is to try and force a more fair and full trial in the Senate, where you do have testimony from people like John Bolton and a couple of other administration witnesses who have not appeared yet. And that hasn't changed yet, but perhaps that does change if we get to the point where, we get into a Senate trial, it becomes clear that Republicans aren't going to be calling witnesses, and that the only way that, John Bolton might testify under oath is if that the House forces him to.
PJ, thanks for your call. Mike, one dynamic here that's really interesting to me is that even in the short time really since those kind of high voltage House Intelligence Committee hearings with a lot of different interesting witnesses, even since that, the short time since that ended, a number of good government groups and news organizations have gotten Freedom of Information requests fulfilled that really fill in the picture about the behind the scenes mechanics of withholding aid from Ukraine, postponing a White House meeting for the new Ukrainian leader, and kind of what was going on inside the White House. It seems to sort of suggest, in some sense, that outside groups have better tools to get this information than Congress itself does. And so I wonder what you think happens if the congressional investigation really seems to diverge from the press investigation. If basically this goes to the Senate and it kind of dies, but at the same time, papers like the Washington Post continue to surface new and troubling information about our government being used in what looks like a quid pro quo.
So this is all part of the pressure that's on the Senate right now, that they're feeling from the House to, do their due diligence in hearing from, very relevant witnesses and getting the very relevant documents, some of which we've seen come out through these Freedom of Information Act requests. The House has voted to impeach the president. They've taken about as grave a constitutional step as you can possibly imagine. They haven't ruled out continuing these investigations, continuing to gather evidence, but at the end of the day, they've taken the votes, and they've done really their ultimate task in completing this process. But now they're hoping that the Senate, that the mantra you hear from Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is witnesses and documents, witnesses and documents. And he says, as he says, it takes four Republican senators to break with Mitch McConnell and join Democrats and force votes to call these witnesses and subpoena these documents. And, you know, that is the whole game right now is a political game, is putting political pressure on enough Republicans that they feel compelled to, you know, do their due diligence, get these witnesses and documents, and, you know, force a more complete investigation before they take votes on Trump's removal.
Let's hear from Rocky in Brooklyn. Rocky, you're on WNYC with Mike DeBonis from The Washington Post.
Hi, good morning. You know, I'm a little distressed at how the weight of how this entire thing is playing out in the media. It seems to me that there is more pressure on Nancy Pelosi than there is on Mitch McConnell. She is waiting for a good roadmap to proceed. Meanwhile, McConnell has already declared, you know, he's going to work with the White House and the defendant. To me, that seems the weight of the pressure should be on the Senate because they are not doing their job. They've already declared, and this is why they want her to send over the articles. They want Trump to be declared exonerated, and then they can go from there to make that a political football out there for them to fundraise on. Yes, they tried to a coup. This is the word they're using. They're trying to remove Trump, and it's a coup.
Rocky,
not realizing.
Thanks.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for your question. And I want to ask this of Mike DeBonis. I know you can only speak for yourself and perhaps your paper, but how do you decide where the news is? And is Pelosi the person who deserves our attention right now, or should it be focused on Mitch McConnell? How do you like think about that?
Well, they're both major players on the same stage, and you know, we cover both pretty intensely. We talked a little bit about how, you know, Pelosi does, you know, is used to this pressure, is used to dealing with the politics up here on the Hill. Mitch McConnell, very much the same way. He's a guy who takes a lot of pride in not flinching, not showing, not sweating in these high-stakes political showdowns. And I think that what we've seen the past couple weeks has been very much in keeping with the way he's operated previously. Look no further than his handling of, Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. Before that, the Merrick Garland nomination. I mean, this is a guy who knows when he has the support of his own group of Republicans, when he has the votes, and he knows how to use that leverage effectively. And that's why I think that, you know, at this point, when he announced earlier this week that he had the votes basically to tell the House to go take a hike, it was seen as a turning point, as a point as saying that the House really had lost its leverage, and that's based on our history of reporting on Mitch McConnell and how effective that he's been in managing his own conference.
So if Nancy Pelosi does transmit the articles of impeachment, maybe as soon as today or perhaps over the weekend, I don't know, what can she claim that she accomplished?
Well, what she's already claimed is that it's given sort of time and space for these new revelations to come out. Some of these emails that have been released under FOIA, John Bolton's own move to say that he's willing to testify in a trial. I think that she can say that, you know, this coming out in the context of the articles being withheld gave this a little more oxygen to sort of move the process, and expect to see some of that, you know, sort of victory lap type rhetoric. But, you know, at the end of the day,
doesn't seem like that much of a victory.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell is getting his way, which is he's going to conduct this trial the way he wants, which is start the trial, have the two sides present their cases, and then decide at a later point whether to pursue witnesses.
So as we head into next week, aside from the fact of when and whether these articles are going to be transmitted, are there any other dates on the calendar, other things to pay attention to that kind of affect this political calculus?
Well, you're obviously starting to get into the presidential primary season. There's a scheduled debate next week. You know, there's some speculation that part of the hold here is to allow some of these Democratic senators who are running for president to appear at that debate. Next week we could see a war powers vote in the Senate. That obviously would be a pretty major thing, and I think that there's certainly Democrats on the House side who want to see that proceed before they get bottled up in an impeachment trial. So those are a couple things to look to. You know, looking towards the end of the month, obviously State of the Union address has been scheduled, and then actually the day after the Iowa caucuses, so in early February. So we're getting into really the hot and heavy political season here in a presidential election year, and it's going to be fast and furious after that.
And if you had to bet on whether we'll hear from John Bolton, who after all kind of sent a jolt through this whole line of reporting this week by saying he would testify to the Senate, do you think we will?
We will hear from him at some point. The question is, will it be in his book and the media surrounding his book, or will it be under oath in a congressional proceeding? And right now, it's very much unclear. I'm sort of betting on the former. President Trump indicated this week that he would go to court to protect presidential privilege in any conversations he had with Bolton. So there's no indication that the Senate, even if the Senate were to vote and say, we want to hear from John Bolton, that you could just snap your fingers and it would happen. There could be a lengthy litigation process around that.
Mike DeBonis is a congressional and national politics reporter for The Washington Post. Mike, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Listeners, if you have impeachment questions, you can call them in and leave a voicemail. You might get to hear it on the show and get an answer from our guests. Call and leave a message. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from WNYC's live daily news talk show, The Brian Lehrer Show, which we also encourage you to listen to every day from 10 a.m. to noon. You can stream it live at WNYC.org. I'm Ilya Meritz, filling in for Brian. We'll have more on Monday. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.